Did you catch the girl with the dragon tattoo by chance? The bad guy at the end is, well, not at the end, but toward the end, is talking to Daniel Craig. And effectively he says, why don't people trust their instincts? You knew something was wrong. But all I had to do to get you in here was just offer you a drink. And you walked right in. So maybe that's human nature, is to trust. As I like to say, trust is not just given as automatically granted. Trust is earned, especially if the one you're trusting happens to hold your lifeline in their hand. Alrighty then, tell you what, always make it a point, if you will, to check out coasttocoastam.com. Interesting stuff on there. Let's see, Jesus in Japan. Yeah. Shinto. Shingo. Maybe. The Fukushima situation over there is, oh, you'll be hearing about that, trust me, in the not-too-distant future. Yes, you will. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see Captain George Norrie's TV program, a new weekly show exploring the unknown and the mysteries of the universe. Premiered the 14th. Beyond Belief. It does not say ship's captain. George Norrie just said Beyond Belief with George Norrie. Anyway, check that out. You will enjoy it. And we'll be right back with Michael Rivero. We got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. So I'll quit gabbing. We'll do this little floating break and we'll have a nice long chat with him. He's our first time guest tonight and we'll be right back. This is Coast. Michael Rivero, there are so many little questions here that they all kind of tie together. Well, now, what's all this about Bretton Woods?
Well, as I mentioned a little earlier in the show, Bretton Woods was an agreement that was reached at the end of World War II that replaced the British pound as the global trade and reserve currency with the United States dollar. And yep. The rest of the world's nations went along with using the dollar globally on the condition that it would always be convertible to gold at $35 an ounce, right, and that the U.S. government would not overprint it. Well, Bretton Woods has kind of fallen apart. Countries are moving away from it because of the overprinting of the dollar, Nixon's ending of gold convertibility. And so in a very real way, this military campaign the U.S. is carrying out is an attempt to recapture control of the world's resource-rich areas in order to dictate to them you will only sell your resources for dollars, so that once again the nations of the world will have to send agricultural produce, manufactured goods, raw materials to the United States to get these paper notes in order to go to these other parts of the world and buy the resources that they need.
Right.
And ultimately, I think we're a war-weary and exhausted nation. I really don't see the U.S. government able to complete this policy, but they don't seem to have any indication that they're thinking about slowing down.
Well, this is what I was getting at. Is that even possible, given China's rise to financial power?
The two countries that are most digging their heels in on this are China and Russia. China, of course, is already floating their new international currency, which is a value-based currency. Of course, Russia just took control of their central bank in order to curtail some of the damages that were starting to accrue in the Russian republics. And so the thing that really worries me and should worry you is this continuing U.S. intrusion into nations which are of strategic interest to Russia and China. We do risk a war with Russia and China. And because the U.S. lacks the men, the manufacturing, and the money to win a conventional war against those nations, we face a real risk of a nuclear war to prop up this paper dollar.
You know, I have to interject this. I think we're running a little thin in the military department.
I agree.
You've seen the stats. We lost more soldiers to suicides than combat fatalities in 2012. I mean, is such a thing even possible? Yes, it's a fact.
I think it's very possible. We had a caller into my show. This was in connection. We were talking about the link between SSRI antidepressants and acts of otherwise inexplicable mass violence. And this lady called into the show. She's a veteran. And she said, because our troops out there in these other countries have come to understand this is not a moral and just war, that they're invading and conquering other countries, they're dealing with moral crisis, severe depression, and the Army doctors are handing out these SSRI antidepressants like they're M&Ms. And we know there's a documented link between these SSRI antidepressants and suicide. And so I think if we want to look at why we're seeing so many of our kids in uniform killing themselves, I think we have to start taking a look at the medications the Army doctors are giving them.
Look, just a couple of guys talking here. Where is all this headed? What are we going to hear next? Don't worry about a little nuclear exchange between ourselves and, I don't know, either somebody who opposes us ideologically or monetarily. Don't worry about it. I mean, I've got a note here to ask you. Are we willing to risk a nuclear war to prop up the buck? I don't even think it can be done, can it? Would they try it?
I don't really know. I think one of the reasons that the world is so dangerous right now is our future history is basically under the control of whichever world leader is the least mentally stable. And frankly, there's a couple I could name that I think at this point are certifiable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I get back to that comment you made about, are we going to start seeing this idea that a little nuclear war isn't a big deal? Do you remember when Fukushima melted down and Ann Coulter was out there on TV saying, a little radiation is good for you, which is complete and utter nonsense. And they were just trying to downplay the fact that these General Electric nuclear reactors had not stood up to the forces they were supposed to.
Oh, I remember seeing it, all right. I don't understand why. Let's take, for example, the big BP oil spill. We saw that same shot for I don't know how long, until we were all like sick at the sight of it. And I didn't see the international community come rushing in. I think some of them wanted to, and they were told not to. So that thing kind of dragged on for a while. And then this Fukushima thing happens, and I don't understand why the entire world isn't over there trying to, put a floaty underneath the whole island or something. That place is in big-time trouble, big-time trouble.
Well, it is big-time trouble, but we keep seeing these disasters happen because too many of the safety decisions are being left up to the financial people, what I call the money junkies. And as a result, there are shortcuts. We know that American oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico are not required to have acoustic blowout preventers, which are standard pretty much everywhere else in the rest of the world. We know that the manual blowout preventer that was being used on the Deepwater Horizon was 4 years overdue for its preventive maintenance. The U.S. Minerals Management Service that's supposed to be keeping an eye on all of this stuff, basically looking the other way. And we're seeing the deterioration of our national infrastructure, and at some point, very important things start breaking because too much of the nation's wealth is being siphoned away from the American people, and it's not going into our roads and schools and hospitals. It's going into the war machine. It's going to prop up Wall Street with all these trillions of dollars of bailouts, and that's not what we pay taxes for. And now, of course, with the fiscal cliff, we're being told they're going to take more taxes and spend even less on this country.
What's it going to take, man? I mean, seriously, this sounds, if the media is controlled and the politicians are controlled and they're all controlled by the banks, I mean, what are ordinary and maybe even extraordinary citizens expected to do to affect any kind of a change against an onslaught like this? It just seems daunting and borderline impossible.
Well, let me interject a ray of hope here, because we know the U.S. financial system is very fragile right now. And I'm opposed to any kind of a violent revolution in this country. In fact, the side that resorts to violence first is going to lose in the court of world opinion. What I really think is going to happen, if we can hold them off from really getting World War III up into nuclear territory, I see the United States government virtually collapsing from the accumulated weight of all of its lies, its financial mismanagement, and I see almost a repeat of the fall of the Soviet Union, where it just sort of collapsed from within. There was very little bloodshed. They formed the Russian Republics. Putin paid off their national debt in 3 years, and things are actually going very well over there compared to here in the United States of America. So I always tell my own readers and my own audience, patience, patience, patience. I know things are very, very, very hard, and yes, we want to hang on to our guns to deter the government from taking drastic action, but I really do think that our federal government and our system of finance is in the middle of its own self-destruction, and I'm not the only one who's thinking that. because, and forgive me again for mentioning a rival website, over at businessinsider.com, there's an article they just put up about a new policy paper from the Boston Consulting Group, which basically is saying we cannot fix the nation's economy with small adjustments like spending and taxes. We have to end this Ponzi system of finance. And they're absolutely, absolutely right.
Let me ask you something. Now, this may be just entirely too simplistic, but I've made this analogy before. If somebody runs up a bunch of debt and they can't pay it, they default. So the lender contacts them and says, look, you owe $3,000, but if you give us $1,600, we'll call it even, we're done. Well, that just means that they wrote off the interest. That's what happened there. All they're asking for is the principal, effectively. What would be wrong with writing off this bogus interest?
There would be nothing wrong with it at all, except, of course, the money junkies on Wall Street don't want to give up a single penny. Now, I think you need to look at what they did over in Iceland, because Iceland got caught up in that whole mortgage-backed security fraud back in 2008. Yeah. And what Iceland did was they threw their crooked bankers into prison.
Yes, they did.
They fired the politicians. Actually, they fired the whole government that helped them loot the Icelandic people. They wrote off all the debt created through fraud, and Iceland's economy is doing very, very well. In our country, our government is so under the control of the financial interests. Their whole attitude is we're just going to bail out and bail out. And from my point of view, all a bailout is taking $1 trillion from the American people and giving it to the banks in the hope that the banks will then loan it back to the American people at interest. And that's a very raw deal for the Americans. Of course, the bankers, mostly they just put it in their own pockets. And now we're at the point where the Federal Reserve is creating $85 billion every single month to prop up the banking system, and when they turn on those printing presses to throw more money at the banking system, inflation drives down the worth of the money that's in your pocket. It's the money you've already worked for, the money you've already earned. It is losing real value, and you can see it every day with the skyrocketing prices at the supermarket and at the gas pump and everything else. You are being robbed indirectly by proxy by this runaway printing over at the Federal Reserve. We're going to wind up like Zimbabwe. They walk around down there with single paper notes that are worth $100 trillion, Zimbabwe dollars, but you get where this situation is going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, all right then. Let's say that we stopped. Let's say we're able to throw a pipe wrench into the gears of the Federal Reserve machine. Replace it with what?
Well, we go back to the system we had when the nation started, which was the government creates the money. The Constitution says money creation authority is supposed to rest with the United States Congress. The government would create the money. They would spend it into circulation to buy what the government needed. It would flow through society, supporting commerce without accruing interest to anybody. Then it was taxed back at the same amount at the end of the cycle to balance the books. And it worked incredibly well. It's one of the reasons why the early United States was just exploding in potential and lifestyle and profitability and investment everywhere. And of course, the European banking families who favor this central bank loaning the currency at interest, they were horrified by this. And literally started the War of 1812, trying to force the U.S. government to renew the charter for the First Bank of the United States, which was the first one of these private central banks that was on our soil. Then, of course, we have the Second Bank of the United States, which Andrew Jackson shut down, and there was an immediate attempt on his life. And when they started the Third Bank of the United States, they said, we better not call it that because everybody's going to realize what is going on. So they called it the Federal Reserve. But it's a privately owned bank. It's no more federal than Federal Express. And the Federal Reserve does not exist to serve the American people. It exists to make money from the American people. And every single nation on earth that has the same system of banking is drowning in trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. And it is by design, because the moment that first paper note goes into circulation, more money is owed to that private central bank than is actually in existence.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much austerity we endure, doesn't matter how hard we work and how much we sacrifice, you cannot pay off the debt. It has to be written off, which means, you know, my recommendation, if you want the one thing that will save this country from destruction, declare the Federal Reserve unconstitutional because it should have taken a constitutional amendment to transfer the money creation authority over to a private bank. And you know, Congress still has the authority to rescind its charter with a vote. Shut it down, write off all that debt, and reset the economy and move forward from there. But the people who own these private central banks wield enormous political power, and the system works for them. They have amazing amounts of wealth. And worse, even though here in the United States we have seen the terrible effects, the privations and poverty caused by this model of banking here in this country, we're still in the process of forcing the same system of banking on the rest of the world at the point of a bayonet.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that all of this happening at once, let's just take a little side trip here. Gee, let's get those guns. Our kids will not be safe unless we get those guns and those high-capacity magazines out of the hands of these maniacs.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does the Department of Homeland Security, and doesn't Homeland Security sound a little bit like fatherland or motherland to you?
Anyway, I digress. Noticed that one, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm sick of the sound of it. You know what I mean? I'm just, it seems like I get in on the end of a lot of things, you know, which also means that I get in on the beginning of a lot of things. But it's like, this is the timing of all of this is just very suspicious to me. I'm suspicious of this timing.
Well, I think the timing is simply the fact that we are getting so close to a collapse. Because from the point of view of the federal government, they really only have two choices. One, they could man up, admit private central banking is a system that is doomed to failure and collapse, and shut it down and restart it, or not willing to admit that they participated in a huge swindle of generations of Americans, they go on looting Americans to keep the system propped up. But they've already seen over in Europe what austerity has triggered in terms of popular uprisings. And those were in countries where there are not a lot of guns. It's not a gun culture over there. And I think this sudden rush to disarm the American people is because they're concerned that when Americans realize what the fiscal cliff is going to do to them in terms of massive tax increases and cuts to federal spending, that there are going to be riots here. We're going to go Cairo on Washington, D.C., and with an armed population, it's going to get very, very ugly. That's what they're afraid of. The gun control has nothing to do with reducing crime or making the world any safer. And the reason for the American people to have military-style weapons and high-capacity magazines is to protect all of us from all of them. And that's really what it comes down to. That's why the Second Amendment talks about security of a free state and a militia, which at the time was basically all able-bodied adults able to carry weapons here. It's not about hunting. It's not about target shooting.
Yeah, it's not about marching around with your little tri-corner hat.
No.
It's about having a rifle in your closet.
It's about reserving to the people weapons equal in capacity and power to those held by the standing army. That's what the intention was. Thomas Jefferson wrote, the purpose of the Second Amendment is so that the people, if necessary, can hold abusive government in check. That's what it's there for.
All right. Well, I don't want to pull you into a long answer, but I'll tell you what, when we come back, well, this has been a lot of fun, Michael, and it's really my pleasure to be the first one interviewing on Coast to Coast AM, and I'm sure I won't be the last one. I want to get you to share with me what you might see in your crystal ball as far as how soon, of course, if no agreement is reached here in just a few days, then the next time those paychecks are issued, there's going to be a larger deduction of tax money. And I got a feeling that's going to roll downhill rapidly.
I think it doesn't matter what deal they come up with, or if they don't come up with a deal, it's going to be the same result. There's nothing they can do that is not going to mean higher taxes for an already overtaxed American people.
Okay. Well put. All right. We'll be right back with Michael Rivero, webmaster of whatreallyhappened.com. Maybe you should get another one going there and go, what's going to happen? We might work on that with Michael. Maybe not. John Wells in with you tonight. It's a pleasure. We'll be back. This is Coast. Heard an interesting story by a guy named Ed Wallace. He does a thing called Inside Automotive, and it's about many other things besides just automotive stuff. And he did a story about Evacuation Day, November 25th, the way back in the 1700s when the British finally left Boston Harbor for good. 14,000 men perished from disease and starvation rather than just say, yeah, okay, we'll put our allegiance with the crown and we'll join the British army and we'll be fine. They didn't do it. They died. Getting my drift here. I've told you. You let that Constitution go and you're going to find out in short order you are well and truly screwed. Now, that's about as clearly as I can possibly put it. And no, Tara, that's not my cigarette lighter. It's my pen. I don't have a cigarette lighter. All right, we'll be right back with our final segment. The man is Michael Rivero. His website is whatreallyhappened.com. And he has some more thoughts to share with us and maybe some ideas as to what action we can take starting like January 2nd. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, rather than name any names, this new health care law that's due to engage is going to be very, very expensive. And I'm in a slight quandary over this, Michael Rivero, and that is that there, Justice Roberts goes, well, it's really unconstitutional under the Commerce Clause. However, you could make it a tax. Okay, we'll make it a tax. Well, when did Congress make it a tax? Aren't they supposed to clear that through Congress, or can the executive branch just levy a tax?
Well, at this particular point, that's exactly what it is. It's a tax. The federal government is desperate for more money to basically keep the system going along. It's drowning in debt. They've practically doubled the national debt just over the last 5 years, and they're desperate for some kind of wealth. And I guess it's sort of an article of faith inside Washington, D.C., that there's still plenty of money out here in the rest of the United States of America. They just got to figure out a way to scam it out of the American people. But the reality is there isn't enough currency here, and commerce is suffering for it. We just had another disastrous holiday shopping season. But we're seeing these huge taxes for Obamacare. We know that a lot of the benefits for Obamacare aren't even supposed to kick in for quite some time. We know they're still pushing this global warming carbon tax, even though the carbon Nazis, as I like to call them, have admitted the world has been cooling for 16 years now. But by golly, we got to have that carbon tax. And they're just going to come up with more and more absurd things to pay taxes on because they are desperate to keep this little pyramid scheme going a little bit longer. It is doomed to fail. And I think since it's going to fail anyway, why should we go on having the American people strip mined of their wealth when the final outcome is not going to be any different? And so it is a very absurd situation. The medical care that is being recommended to us isn't even very good. We have the most expensive medical care on earth, and it's something like 32nd in terms of quality. We are always hearing these horrible stories, not just about the SSRI antidepressants and suicide, but all of this over-vaccination of our children with vaccines for diseases they're probably never going to encounter. In some cases, the vaccines turn out not only to not protect against disease, but they have very, very harmful side effects. British Medical Journal just ran a story about a week back. The Tamiflu vaccine doesn't actually protect you from flu. We know that some of what are called adjuvants that are put in these vaccines are provoking serious side effects. You peanut anaphylaxis, which is a big problem in the United States, where if you're just exposed to anything with any peanut in it, your throat can close off and you can die. That's thought to have been caused by the fact that peanut oil is used as an adjuvant in vaccines.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering, it's like, where are all these peanut allergies coming from? I mean, I've never seen so many allergies in my life. What the hell's going on, you know? And now you're telling me that it's a component in vaccines.
Well, here's what's going on. The reason for the adjuvants is to provoke a response so that your body will build antibodies to the whatever illness is in the vaccine, whatever germ or whatever fragment of DNA is in there. But at the same time, it's also building antibodies to the adjuvants themselves.
Right.
And, you know, peanut oil is something you're supposed to eat and digest, not shoot into your veins.
Yeah, you're not supposed to keep it in there.
Absolutely. And we know there's a link between mercury-based preservatives and the epidemic of autism that's out there. But it's a huge, huge moneymaker. And what is good for the patients has just become completely forgotten. You can see it on those big budget TV commercials for pharmaceuticals. Buy new hydroflammostone and it will do this. And then there's that really fast voice at the end of the commercial saying, if you take this, your nose may fall off and it's not our fault because we warned you. And
right.
We lost that Hippocratic principle. First of all, do no harm. And it has to do with the fact that medical care in the United States isn't about medical care anymore. It's just another way to make gobs and gobs of money. And the money junkies are making the decisions regarding our health, and they're going to make the decisions that make them the most money, not necessarily what is best for the patient. And we're seeing all these instances where it's estimated something like 30% of all the treatments that are being given to Americans are not really needed, but they're prescribed and performed simply in order to run up another bill.
Okay. Well, so, you know, I don't expect you to just go all the way out on the clothesline any more than you already are, but so what do you do? Just start filing lawsuits, tie up the courts with it, get the media's attention, just turn the machine back on itself?
Well, you're not going to get the media's attention. And let me use the SSRIs as an illustration. If you go out and web search SSRI depression, SSRI suicide, SSRI violence, you're going to find lots and lots of articles and references. And there have been lawsuits. But Congress actually held hearings on this issue, but they refused to do anything because pharmaceutical corporations are major campaign contributors. And the corporate media won't touch this story because they'll lose those huge advertising contracts. And so this is something that a lot of people are not looking at. When we look at these horrible tragedies like happened up in Connecticut, they're saying the guns are bad, the guns are bad, the guns are bad. They don't want to talk about what medications this guy was on. And in that specific case, Adam Lanza was on Fanapt, which is not an SSRI, to be honest, but it is an antipsychotic whose manufacturer admits it frequently, their word frequently, causes increased panic, paranoia, violence, poor impulse control. And so there are a lot of these medications out there. We've all heard the horror stories about kids who are given these ADHD drugs and they go home and they just commit suicide and nobody knows why. It's a major, major problem. But again, the Congress won't do anything about it because they don't want to lose those campaign contributions. Corporate media won't touch it because they don't want to lose the advertising money. And if you want an earlier illustration of just how powerful that money does influence our corporate media, you need to go back and look at the Fox News synthetic bovine growth hormone story, which was these two reporters were assigned by Fox News to write a puff piece about Monsanto's synthetic bovine growth hormone, laud it to the skies, how wonderful it is and great it is. And when these reporters looked into it, they found out there were serious medical consequences for people who were consuming the meat and dairy products from the cows on which this product was used. And they wrote up the story. Monsanto came in and said, if you run this story as it is, we will pull all of our advertising. Fox News told the reporters, take out the stuff about the negative medical consequences. The reporters refused, and Fox News fired them. The reporters sued and lost on appeal when the courts ruled that since there is no law requiring the corporate media to tell the truth to the American people, corporate media can legally order their journalists to lie to the American public, and if they refuse, can fire them legally. And that is the state of the American corporate media.
You know, I keep poking around here trying to figure something out, but it's like, what if all of a sudden just a multitude of people decided they weren't going to participate in this anymore?
Well, I think that's already happening. Like I said, you know, when I was much younger, well, even just back 18 years ago when I was starting all of this stuff, I still believed that media was honest, that bankers were honest, that government was really concerned about the American people. But again, in the aftermath of the lie about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, Americans have become very skeptical. And they don't want to be forced to take vaccines that may be toxic. And if you want to talk about something that we should all be doing, we should all be very skeptical. We shouldn't accept anything coming out of government or the corporate media at face value. We should be looking at taking care of ourselves. You would be amazed of how many common ailments for which there are hideously expensive prescription medicines being prescribed can be fixed with very simple changes to diet. We went through a situation with my wife some years ago where she was suffering incredible joint pain. And we went through literally thousands and thousands of dollars of different medications, ointments, creams, special shoes. We had to figure it out for ourselves. She's sensitive to what are called formaldehyde precursors that you find in goopy household cleaners and low-end cosmetics. And once we simply threw those products out, the joint pains went away. The doctors don't even know it. They don't want to think about it. They're there to sell you another pill, another potion, another powder, another medical examination. And they're literally trying to shut down anybody who is saying you can take care of your health on your own. Just be aware, do your homework, and you can not only save a lot of money, you know, by going out and like using these natural herbal cures, you're not going to get the side effects from these rapidly produced artificial chemicals, which are messed around with to make them patentable. You know, people buy Valium at the pharmacy and it's very expensive, but you can get the exact same result from valerian root, which grows in nature. You can get it at a health food store. You don't need a prescription, doesn't cost anywhere near as much.
Oh yeah, the FDA's been falling all over themselves for years trying to regulate all that stuff right down to your vitamin C caps.
Absolutely, because it's a threat to the profitability of the big medical corporations.
This is nauseating, Michael, you know?
Well, they've got a prescription medicine for that too.
Yeah, I don't want to take it, though. I'd rather savor the nausea. I'm just wondering, well, is it your opinion that we just, it's too far down the road, it's too screwed up, we just need to let it fall down and then sort of come out from out from under it all the rubble and start cleaning up?
Yeah, I think we're at that point. It is too late to save this system. It is just simply too corrupt. What we ought to be doing, there's two things we ought to be doing. One, everybody who's aware of the misinformation, or even has doubts, you need to talk out publicly with your friends, your family, your coworkers, because the more you speak out, the more you're going to give others around you the courage to speak out. And the second thing that we need to be doing right now is we need to seriously think about what kind of a country we want here when the dust has settled and we're rebuilding. Because if we're not prepared to decide for ourselves what kind of a nation we want, there's going to be no end of carpetbaggers coming on in saying, I got your new government right here. Just sign on the dotted line and we'll set you up with a brand new private central bank. And we'll be just back in the same repeating pattern all over again. And from my point, rule number one is no private central bank. And we
right.
cannot ever, ever allow our nation to be enslaved to a private central bank again, because every nation on earth that's enslaved to one of these private central banks issuing the public currency as a loan at interest, they are starvation, unemployment, they're drowning in this artificially created debt. It is time to stop it. And the reason for all of this, of course, it's a way of controlling the people, because the Federal Reserve can just print up these dollars all they want, but you and I can't. If you need to get a dollar to pay a bill, you have to do what those who have those paper notes tell you to do. That's the control mechanism. It's rule by debt, and it's no more legitimate a form of civil governance than rule by divine right or rule by chattel ownership of your person. In other words, slavery. Now, as a human civilization, we have outgrown rule by divine right. We all understand rule by slavery is wrong. It's time to take that next step and admit that rule by artificially created bank debt is equally illegitimate. And we need to start searching for that new way to organize the civil society for the benefit of the people.
You know, we got about 5 or 6 minutes here, and I want to use them. So let me go crazy. I don't expect you to. You've done this before. You sound pretty steady, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
And I mean that. I'm just wondering. Well, what would the effect be if you just stopped buying their stuff? In other words, that deal about non-participation is like, if you want to get the media's attention, well, quit supporting their sponsors.
Well, that definitely does work, and a lot of people did stop buying. It was a terrible Christmas season. Boycotts are very powerful forms of social change. Non-cooperation, remember how Gandhi got the British out of India? Just stop going along. Don't fill out the papers. Don't have the note. Don't have the ribbon. Just stop going along. The most powerful thing we can do right now, and the Occupy movement already did, is to stand up and start telling the world, we, the American people, will no longer be the wallet of last resort for Wall Street's crimes and government overspending. And it's already working. Foreign investment in the United States is down about one-third this year, which is why the Federal Reserve is just printing up all this instant money to keep the system going. But the reality is that going all the way back to the 1980s, the U.S. has made this promise to foreign investors. You can put your money here, and if you make money, you can keep it. But if you lose money, we'll transfer the losses to the American people. That's what happened during the SNL bailouts of the 1980s. That's what all of these bailouts that have been going on since 2008 are. Transferring the losses onto the American people in order to make the U.S. look like it's a favorable investment climate for foreign investment. But that, too, is starting to fall apart as well. At some point, the panic will hit, and the foreign investors will yank their money out, and that's when the whole system's going to come crashing down.
What would the effect of the arrests beginning, just Icelandic style, what would happen if, I hate to even say this, but it's just theoretical, because it seems like such a nightmare scenario, unless it's in some 50s or maybe early 60s black and white movie that they shot in black and white deliberately. What would happen if the military showed up and just said, you know, you're under arrest for this, that, and the other? I mean, a 7 days in May deal. That Burt Lancaster was the one that got in trouble on that one. He was a military officer trying to commit a coup.
That was actually on Turner Classic Movies earlier today. You know, that's actually based on a real incident where the Wall Street bankers tried to recruit Marine Corps Major General Smedley Butler to lead a coup against Franklin Roosevelt to bring about a government in the United States similar to what was happening in Italy and Germany. And Smedley Butler went along with it to get all the necessary evidence and then blew the whistle to Roosevelt. Roosevelt couldn't do anything because the bankers said, hey, if you arrest us, we'll crash the banking system. But again, on the first day of World War II, he nailed them all for the Trading with the Enemies Act because of their support of Hitler's rise to power. So I don't know how much the U.S. government could count on the American military for support. I think one of the reasons they're talking about disarming all the returning veterans from the war zone is they can't trust them to obey orders to shoot at and arrest and disarm ordinary Americans. And I think the concern is that our returning veterans are trained up soldiers and military. And if there is a violent uprising, and again, I hope we can avoid it. I want to keep this revolution virtual. But if there is a real revolution in the streets, I think you're going to see a lot of those veterans on the side of the American people, especially after the way the government has been messing around with them, with their veterans benefits, and the basic maltreatment. I mean, these kids put their lives on the line to support basically a banker enterprise, and once their service is over, the U.S. government just says, we have no more need for you. We don't need to take care of you. We have veterans who are dying of their illnesses and injuries long before the paperwork for any kind of benefits gets completed. It's just the system is just cheating everybody, including those who serve it most.
You know, we have less than 2 minutes. So anything that you would like to say to a few zillion people, please, you have the floor.
Well, thank you very much. And again, I'd just like to invite you all over to my website, whatreallyhappened.com. It is a very large, very full, very dynamic website. We have a lot of members who put up their own stories, and it's changing constantly. So please come on over. We've put up some stories for you to look at, see if it's the kind of thing that you want to read and share with your friends. And again, the most important thing you can do right now is to speak out, because when you speak out, you give others around you the courage to speak out, and that is how public consensus is going to be formed.
Fantastic. Michael Rivero, what a pleasure, sir. We will stay in touch with you, and hopefully you will come back on the program for an update in the not-too-distant future.
I would love to.
Very good. You heard the man. Uh-oh. You know what that means. It's the top of the hour break. WhatReallyHappened.com and host of What Really Happened radio shows on Republic Broadcasting Network, Michael Rivero. Excellent eye-opening stuff. Next, Al Fatty. TheQuranDilemma.com. His desire to assist both Muslims and non-Muslims who seek to learn more about the Quran, to research it without traditional religious and cultural barriers. We'll be back. This is Coast.